You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This week on Red Dead Radio, we transcend time and space through the power of the internet to bring you a podcast from across this fair land.
We talk with a webcam.
Hi, friends. Welcome to Red Dead Radio, the Red Dead Redemption podcast. I'm your host, Jared Petty. And as always, we're going straight to the Wild Wild Guest.
We're going straight to the Wild Wild Guest. We're going straight to the Wild Wild Guest. Yeah!
Who are you?
My name is Sean. I'm from Game Attack.
Sean from Game Attack? What are you attacking?
Absolutely nothing.
Are you aptly named?
No, we're not aptly named. We got stuck with the name Game Attack, but it's worked out okay. It's worked out. If you don't know, Game Attack was a side branch of Screw Attack when we launched, and then we were under, you know, the Rooster Teeth umbrella. We were part of the Let's Play family and all that stuff, and it came time for Screw Attack to move to Austin, and we didn't want to, so we went independent from Rooster Teeth, and now we're a live streaming channel. Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then 9 p.m. Every Monday through Friday. So lots of streaming happening.
And who is we, Sean?
We is myself and Craig Skistimus. He is the father of internet video. He is like one of the first people to just start making original content. This is like pre-YouTube, like 2006, I think. But yeah, he went from my boss to a business partner in like 4 years. So now we're still trying to figure it out together. So it's been a wild ride. So.
Well, let me ask you about your history with Red Dead Redemption. Why the specific interest in this game for you? Briefly, what's your history with Red Dead?
There was a time in my life, from I guess like 14 to like 22, where I was just kind of lasting as a gamer until the next Rockstar game came out. a lot of people, you know, they only play Madden or only play Call of Duty, but you know, like Grand Theft Auto would come out and then I'd play it for 2 years and mm-hmm. then I'd be like, if I can just last until, you know, I'm playing like Mass Effect and RPGs and everything in between. I have a pretty eclectic style, but yeah, just when a Rockstar game would come out, it'd be like, this is who I am. And then I would get it. And I played Red Dead Revolver, of course, just because of my history with Rockstar. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. And then, you know, they announced Red Dead. They were like, it's going to be like Grand Theft Auto. They're going to have the Euphoria engine. Going to drag people behind horses. I was so hyped for it. And I bought it on launch night. I played it for a while. And then I set it down for like a year.
Whoa!
I just stopped playing it. It was so, so weird. I loved it so much. And then I think what happened was Battlefield Bad Company 2 came out. And then I didn't touch Red Dead for a year. And then randomly I picked it up and it just swallowed me again. And I played it to completion and it's a perfect game. It's perfect.
It's rather superb. I find myself drawn back. I'm playing through it again right now. And some of our viewers and listeners are playing along. And it has been rather extraordinary going back and realizing just how groundbreaking it was, how many new things it did, and how well it holds up because it was groundbreaking.
Yeah, it's so... to me, it's definitely the most... the most inviting world I'm brain farting, my game journalism isn't kicking in right now.
Well, that's all right.
Immersive, there we go. Immersion. It's the most immersive world Rockstar has ever created, I think, way more so than Grand Theft Auto 5 even still to this day. But man, it, and I don't know how your topics flow, but if you like want to just roll right into it,
We'll get there. Just let me ask you this. What was your first Rockstar game?
My first Rockstar game was probably Thrasher, Skate, and Destroy.
Oh, wow.
On PlayStation 1.
Wow. Okay. I thought you were going to say Wild Metal Country from DMA for a second.
No, no, no. It might have actually been Grand Theft Auto 1. I don't know what came out first, mm-hmm. but I remember Grand Theft Auto 1 came out, and my friend was just like, you can steal cars and run over people and fart and stuff. And so... It was like GTA 1 and 2 and Thrasher, Skate, and Destroy, and then Max Payne, and just, I was like, wow, all of my favorite games have this Rockstar logo in front of them. Even if they didn't, you know, make the game, they were, you know, the publishing house behind them. But yeah, like Thrasher, Skate, and Destroy, I think is the first game where I really remember they had the green neon, you know, it was like ROM, RAM, okay, and then it would show the Rockstar logo. So that's kind of like my first remembrance of that.
What do you think the common thread was for you between all of those? What was it about the games this company produced that drew you in a way that other games didn't necessarily?
Man, if you think about Thrasher, in an age of playing Tony Hawk, Thrasher was Skate before Skate came out. It was kind of violent as a skateboarding game. Like at the end of each round, there would be a cop chasing you with a taser and stuff. And then, and it would show the cop's hand like in the forescreen, and you were like skating away from him, and he'd be like, come here, you little shit. And like trying to tase you and stuff. And then, so it had this edge to it. And then, you know, Max Payne was just so cinematic. Of course I was Remedy, not Rockstar, but, and then with the common thread of GTA 3, it was creating. And I know that's kind of weird, but like, you know, in today you think of creation, you think of crafting games and Minecraft. But in Grand Theft Auto 3, being such an avid film buff and a huge fan of action films, I would create my own activities in Grand Theft Auto 3, even more than what that was offering. And of course, when Grand Theft Auto 3 came out, just like everything was over, you know, it was just done forever.
No, I think about what you say about creating. I mean, I think we've talked about this before. Chris Kohler, I believe, said that we're a storytelling species, human beings, or a storytelling people. And Rockstar games are largely, especially GTA games, are largely about storytelling. It's like, hey, I did this, and then this happened, and I drove off this building and crashed into this helicopter, and we recount those moments. And that is a form of creation. And then you stack on top of that something like the GTA 5 content creator or the track creator. And so it just layers and layers and layers.
Yeah. I haven't even touched that stuff. I think I made like one movie with GTA 5. I spent like 12 hours basically doing what I did with GTA 3.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I would be like, okay, I'm going to start at Franklin's house, and I'll choreograph down to Hollywood Boulevard, and then I'll annihilate the streets with a minigun, and then I will get in my car. I'll have a brief shootout with the cops. Then I'll get in my car, and I would map out a specific route up that interstate by like Trevor's Lake and all that stuff up to Mount Chiliad, and I had sunk. I think I had done it for like 12 hours just trying to get the recording right so I could then go into the film editor. And I was like, I did one little movie like that. And then I was like, okay, I'm done with that.
So you were fooling around with the film editing. That's a whole other avenue.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the content creator, the level maker.
Oh, like, yeah. That's
which is
that's
also
just,
in there.
Yeah. I don't even touch that. That's just way too much.
There's
just
a lot going on.
And all then right, mods, I don't know.
It's, yeah, it's and then cool. mods, and then of course we look at Red Dead 2, which is at least as much a sequel to GTA 5 as it is Red Dead 1, and think about what's going to be possible. The cinematic movie possibilities, I don't know. But it's probably time for us to roll into our next segment, Shootout Red Dead News of the Week. And there is some this week. This from our friends at IGN. I'm going to read this story.
Sweet, sweet.
With traditionally single-player game studios like Bethesda Softworks and BioWare showcasing persistent world multiplayer games at E3 2018, single-player games' viability is once again a topic of discussion. But despite his company's most popular game ever benefiting from a multiplayer mode, Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick, still sees value in single-player experiences. Speaking to GamesBeat, Zelnick said he appreciates high-quality single-player games with strong stories and characters. He's not deaf to all the talk of single-player games dying off, but he isn't buying into that line of thinking. Quote, historically in entertainment, people take positions like that. But there are also people saying that it won't work if it's not a free-to-play battle royale, end quote, said Zelnick. People really are saying that, continuing the quote. I'm not even tongue-in-cheek. I don't buy that. Single player, in my opinion, is not dead. Not even close. Companies that feel like they'll just avoid the hard work of building a story and characters and go right to where the money is in multiplayer, I don't think that's going to work. I'd be surprised. So, a popular topic right now, there was another very interesting piece went up at IGN just this week by Alana Pierce, likewise about the role of multiplayer versus single player gaming in the current creation environment. I'd love to know your thoughts on Zelnick's statements here, both as it relates to Red Dead and into the broader gaming space right now. You play a lot of games.
Yeah, and honestly, with streaming on the rise, you know, being on this kind of side of things, I personally think that single player will all but die outside of first party titles, and then it'll see a renaissance. I know that sounds like really, really weird, but I do see a cannibalization of single player games, especially with games like Anthem. And when I say like a killing off of single player games, I do mean like in the traditional sense. I don't think that, you know, I think, you know, Sony will keep making its God of Wars. Like, Assassin's Creed is huge. You know, if you're selling 10 million copies a year, like, it's going to be fine. But games, especially when it comes to new IPs, I think you're going to see less and less new IPs that are single-player games, because games are far more social now. You're going to see things like Anthem, where they're like, you know, the single-player is the multiplayer. It's like, I don't really know how that works, but, like, I do think, you know, companies are going to start seeing, you know, where the